Our first story presents one of the biggest obstacles we all face sometime in our lives, fear. Jamal Yogis was 29 years old when he went through his first big heartbreak. He found himself face to face with his fears of both commitment and abandonment. And he chose to deal with them in a pretty extreme way. KALW's Martina Castro explained how at a live storytelling event earlier this spring. Let's listen.
So we all eventually figure out a way to bounce back from our first heartbreak. Jamal's, though, was different.
You know, breakups trigger so many of our fears, like our fear of rejection, our fear of not being good enough, our fear of failing. They trigger fears that we watched our parents deal with when they were arguing or divorcing.
And those fears inspired Jamal to turn his heartbreak into a personal quest. He would get to the bottom of why he was so afraid, why all of us are, and find strategies for changing that. Maybe if he could learn to keep his fears in check, he could avoid heartbreak number two. So he interviewed neuroscientists, sports psychologists, extreme athletes, and it turns out
the number one way to deal with fear, as most of the neuroscientists told me, is exposure therapy.
Exposure therapy. In other words, just do what you're afraid of. So he tried it. He had always been afraid of the murky, shark-infested waters of the bay, so he swam to Alcatraz and back. Then he dove near the Farallon Islands and through a cage came face to face with a shark the size of an Airstream trailer. Yep. And believe it or not, he got over his fear of the bay and of sharks. And after he forced himself to go out on a few dates, before long, he started feeling better about himself. He even met someone new. But among all of his fears, there was one big one. And I mean four stories tall big. That would really put Jamal's fear project to the test. Mavericks. If you surf in Northern California, or pretty much anywhere in the world, this is the wave that separates big wave surfers from the rest. It only appears under just the right conditions, down near Half Moon Bay. And when it breaks, it can create waves up to 80 feet tall.
If you grew up surfing in the 90s, like when Mavericks was discovered, I mean, Mavericks was a huge deal. It was like all of a sudden Mount Everest had been hiding, and all of a sudden people found it.
Jamal grew up with posters of Mavericks on his walls and reading about it in Surfer magazine.
It was my one dream, was like getting to surf and live a surfer's lifestyle. But Mavericks was like this thing that I would never personally do.
Fast forward 20 some years, and Jamal is a pretty competent surfer. For the first time ever, the thought enters his brain that maybe with the techniques he's learned to combat fear, he can actually take on Mavericks. It meant doing some seemingly counterproductive work, like
watching the scariest movies I could about Mavericks. Like, they have some YouTube videos where it's like Metallica music and then like shows all these terrible falls. And so I would watch some of those and then I would go out and surf waves that I felt confident on at Ocean Beach.
After months of this, the day came when conditions were just right for Mavericks to break. And Jamal had a decision to make. Do it now or let the fear build indefinitely. So he got in his car and drove to Half Moon Bay.
I don't know if I'd ever been so physically scared. Like, I was really scared. I was like couldn't eat scared.
He told himself all he had to do was get in the water. And he did. He paddled out on his big surfboard to where he could catch this wave and then sat there for a really long time. I mean, would you blame him?
It really does feel like the whole ocean is just tipping and that you somehow are descending down the face of the ocean. And you sense that power in it, that if you fall, it's going to not let you go until it wants to, and you have no control in the matter.
after 2 hours of sitting, a huge set of waves came in.
I can't even speculate on the height, but it looked like, you know, a 10-story building. It was probably, you know, not even half that size, but that's the way it feels.
He quickly realized he was going to have to dive under and get pummeled by this mountain of water hurling itself right at him.
People die here, you know, like professional surfers die here.
That's why it's so hard to do what surfers are supposed to do in this situation, relax.
I absolutely did not relax. I just scrambled.
Well, the important thing is that after all that scrambling, he did eventually make it up to the surface.
And it was really that making it up and back and thinking, okay, it happened there. Like, that's what it's like.
So he paddled back out there to join the other surfers. But another couple of hours went by.
And I realized that what I was trying to do is I was waiting for this moment where it suddenly felt good to paddle down one of these waves. And it just never was.
And then something clicked for him.
I became so angry and frustrated that I had to surrender. And I remember that turning point and saying, okay, I'm going to leave today having ridden a wave, and that's going to happen by me taking all this anger and frustration and fear and using it.
And as if the ocean were responding, within seconds of making this decision, a wave came right to him. This time, he went for it.
I stood up, and from there, it's just like everything goes white, you know, in terms of you're not thinking, but I got into the wave early, so it was right before it truly hit the reef. That's the feeling of like the whole ocean going, and then you see where you're going, and it's like, well, I'm going way down there, like, hello. You're just going so fast, you know, you hear the whistle of wind in your ears, and it's like,
in a matter of seconds, Jamal covers the distance of about a football field. And after he skims off the surface of that wave,
it took about 10 seconds for me to kind of realize, like, oh my gosh, you know, that thing that I've been wondering and dreaming about since the age of 12 just happened.
When you succeed at something like this, something you truly never thought you could do, Jamal says you're filled with this euphoric feeling of triumph that spreads to every doubt, every fear you could be holding inside you.
For that period, you just feel like there's nothing in the world that could ever hurt you, you know?
And that brings us back to that new someone Jamal met after he forced himself to start dating again.
I remember thinking to myself, like, I'd been grappling with this anxiety about commitment and being in love with my girlfriend, but not knowing if I wanted to propose or could.
Sound familiar? So when Jamal met Amy, he instantly realized that she wasn't like Sarah or any of the other women he had dated. Amy was from a different tribe than Jamal. She was from the East Coast. This was a challenge for him, and he liked it. Slowly, Amy and Jamal grew closer, fell in love, and moved in together. Everything was going great, but Jamal got that feeling again, that familiar fear. Could he make this work? Would he end up getting hurt again? Well, after surfing Mavericks that day,
I just knew, like, I can do this, and I will do it.
See, it turns out, and this is another thing Jamal learned in his research, if fear is what paralyzes us, love is what moves us.
Anytime you're in love, you have a lot of oxytocin in your system, and oxytocin is this neurochemical that they've shown in studies helps counteract the freezing response of fear. And the amazing thing is you can actually, you know, you or I can close our eyes and think of someone we love, and we actually get a little hit of oxytocin if we really take the time to feel it.
Jamal's fear project led him to conquer some pretty extraordinary fears, but they were just training for facing down some of life's most ordinary fears, like of commitment and abandonment, or simply the unknown. Jamal and Amy are now married with their first child. He still has fears, but now he treats them kind of like waves.
I have to catch them before I mess it all up.